Well, we're still in our series called The Search, and we're going to spend the next few weeks looking at things, sort of the big questions in life, I guess you could say. Marty and I aren't quite sure what we got ourselves into here, but we're going to do the best we can. Last week, Marty did a great job talking about the search for meaning and how all of us are on a search for meaning. And while certainly we know people who don't believe in Jesus who live very meaningful lives, at the end of life, the words that Marty preached on last week from Colossians are absolutely true. All things were created by Jesus. They were all created for Jesus, and Jesus holds all things together. And so it's in that that we find our ultimate meaning and purpose in life. This week, we're going to spend some time talking about the search for values. The search for values. Everybody has values. Values are all around us. We share some values. We have differing values. But everybody has values. Some of us have the value of thriftiness. We love to save. Some of us have the value of enjoyment, and we love to spend. Some of us have the value of loyalty, and so we wear our jerseys, even if they're Seahawks jerseys, to church on Sunday morning. Some of us have loyalty. We drive the same cars all our lives because we found a brand we like and we just stick with it. Some of us have values of friendship, and so we try to invest in all kinds of friends and activities and all the. Some of us have all different kinds of values, but values are all around us. Everybody has them. In fact, if you work in corporate America or you are involved in a business or have a nonprofit, you'll know that there's sort of a cottage industry of people who go around and try to help organizations discover their core values. The expert will come in, you'll put up the butcher paper, everybody will get some different colored sticky notes, and you'll get to put the things up that you think are the biggest values, and you'll try to distill down into what are the core values of your organization. I can kind of tongue-in-cheek talk about that because I used to do that for other pastors. What are your core values? But the question that we want to talk about today are, what are the values, what are the core values that we as believers, people who have been purchased in the blood of Jesus, what are our core values? What are the values that we ought to have? I know that many of us grew up believing that the core values of Christianity were to follow the rules, to make sure you went to church, to make sure you avoided certain things, to make sure that you lived your life a certain way, that people would know that you were a Christian because you didn't do that or you did do this or whatever it was. We grew up believing that there was such a thing called Christian values. And while those things are true and they are part of Christianity, those aren't actually the core values of Christianity. And so this morning, I want to spend a few moments talking about what the Bible teaches about the core values of people who have been purchased in the blood of Jesus Christ. I want you to turn with me to the New Testament book of Matthew, chapter 22. I am on page 804, if you picked up a blue Bible. Page 804. Jesus has had a running sort of antagonistic relationship with the Jewish leaders. There's two main groups. There's Sadducees, there's Pharisees, and each of them has sort of taken a run at trying to dislodge Jesus or trip Jesus up or stop Jesus. And they've had this sort of ongoing conflict between Jesus and the religious leaders. So in Matthew chapter 22, verse 34 is where we're going to start, page 804. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the other group of religious leaders, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then Jesus ends with this very powerful phrase. He says, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. In other words, the whole Bible hangs on those two commandments. The commandment of having God first in your life. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. And the second commandment, which Jesus says is like it, which is to love your neighbor as yourself. I would make a case this morning that those are very deep clues as to what the core values of Christians are. And if you wanted to put that on a bumper sticker or on a t-shirt, here's how I would do it. It's not about you. That's really the core value of Christianity. It's not about me. It's not about us. It's not about anything that we really core do. It's about something bigger than us. That's why Jesus starts the conversation with, love the Lord your God with all your heart. There is something bigger than you. There is something outside of you. And that is an important distinction for people to understand, because otherwise we begin to believe we are the measure of everything. What we say is right is right. What we say to do, we do. We begin to become the measure of everything. It's very important as a core value to believe that there is something bigger, more important, more powerful than us. There's lots of reasons. I'm going to pick on two this morning. One is, if I believe that there is something bigger, more important, more powerful than me, then I have to acknowledge that God, that Father, as we call Him, should have a significant say in my life. If there's something that's way above me, something much more powerful, something much more beautiful, something much more knowledgeable, then I have to admit that entity, we call Him a Father, should have the right to set limits on my life, should have some say in how I live. And that's a very important thing, because it means that there's something outside of me instead of me. And that's very important. But I think even more important than that is the acknowledgement that if there is something that created me, if God is the one who set me in motion and put me together and placed me in this place and gave me this life, then that means that I am not self-contained. I know that in America, and I'm all for this, so please don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm all for this, the idea of somebody who's self-made. They go out, they work hard, they put in the time, they do their thing, and they make something out of their lives. I'm all for that. But that's not what the faith is like. That's not Christianity. We're not self-made. We're not sustained in ourselves. We need someone above us. The Psalms describe it this way. It says that the whole world, all creation looks to you. And you open your hand and you satisfy the desire of every living thing. God is the one above us who sustains us, creates us, and we rely on Him. But even more importantly than that is the acknowledgement that if there is something above me and my relationship with that something is broken, then I need help. I need help. So if you want to boil it all down, here's what it means. It means it's not about me, it's about the Father. It's about God the Creator. It's about what He wants in my life. Jesus goes on to say that the second commandment is very important as well. He says that the second commandment is to love your neighbor as yourselves. In other words, it's not about me. Other people are important. Other people matter. Other people's feelings and eternity and lives are important. and my life does not take precedent over their lives. Let's turn to another section of Scripture. Let's turn to the book of Galatians, chapter 5. I'm on page 946. Paul, the Apostle Paul, is writing to a church in Galatia, and he's trying to describe to them what their lives ought to look like. They have been tempted to believe that they need to follow certain rules, circumcision, worship on certain days, and that would be what would define them. Those would be their values. But Paul is drawing them out of that into some other kind of values. And here's what he says. I'm on page 946, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. He says this, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." Here's what Paul is saying. He's saying that this is what the second commandment looks like. It looks like being people who are loving, joyful, patient, kind, good, faithful, self-controlled. He's saying that this is what our core value is, that we cannot save ourselves. This is all by grace. And we are to offer the same grace to people around us. It's not about us. That's truly our core value. And look, if you're a parent, a grandparent, you have some influence over, you know, kids, whether you're a coach or a Boy Scout or Girl Scout leader, if you want to impart one value that makes people more Christ-like, impart the value that it's not about them. Because you see, we grow up believing it's all about us. We grow up believing that life just sort of rotates around us. And I get it. I understand it. We have a granddaughter now. And honestly, we didn't need entertainment over Christmas. We all just sat and watched her. I get why she might grow up believing it all just goes around her, because she moves and seven adults are, you know, up moving around. Oh, yeah, this has to be about me. We grow up believing that stuff is about us. Our parents invest and work, and our teachers invest and work, and our coaches invest and work, and they pour into us, and that's all good. It's all how it should be. But the reality is, in life, as a follower of Jesus, one who has been purchased in the death and resurrection of Jesus, it is not about us. The first commandment is love the Lord your God, and the second one is love other people. It's not about us. This morning on my way into the office, and I just to let you know, I live a mile from here, so it had to be very quick. I had the radio on, and I was listening to a Christian station, and in one of the songs that I heard, the chorus or the verse or whatever it was, said, "Jesus, you are our example." Let me just tell you something. If Jesus is our example, we're toast. We're toast. Because what that means is Jesus came and lived a perfect life and stands at the finish line and says, "Come on, you can do it too. Follow my footsteps. Do what I did." And I don't know about you. I don't know how it works in your life. I do know how it works in my life and in my head. I struggle to believe it's not about me. I struggle. One more section of Scripture. Philippians chapter 2. I'm on page 951. If you have our Bible and a pen is near you, this is a great passage. Go ahead and write a line in the margin. That's okay. The next person who gets it, they'll stop and look at it. If you have your own Bible, you should highlight this as well. Philippians chapter 2. Paul is writing to another church, this time in Philippi, and he says these powerful words. He says, I'm going to begin in verse 3 of chapter 2, page 951. He says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others." Here it is. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being made in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. If you could read that, I could see you could read that and you could think that Jesus is our example. He says, have the same mindset as Christ. Follow Jesus. But let me just tell you something. When Paul writes about these words, he's not writing it as an example for Kevin. Jesus is not my example. He's not your example either. Jesus is instead my life. When Jesus humbled himself and became a human being, he became obedient to the Father. So for every time that I have known what the first commandment means, which is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, for every time I know that I'm supposed to do that, for every time that I want to do that and I fail at it, for every time I make a mistake in that, Jesus did it for me. He didn't show me how to do it. He did it for me. He became obedient, it says, even to death on a cross. So for every time I have failed, Jesus has done it perfectly, but Jesus has also paid the price for every one of my failures. I got good news for you. He did the same thing for you. So every time I have made it about myself, and every time you've made it about yourself, every time we have lived contrary to the culture and values of grace and a Savior and humility, and it's not about us, every time Jesus nailed it to the cross. He is not our example. He is our Savior. He came to do it for us and to forgive us when we fail. Let me finish with this. It's a challenge for Christians right now It's always been a challenge for Christians to live in a world where virtues are so different than the virtues we have, than the values that we hold to. There are values of all kinds outside, values of all kinds in our hearts, values of all kinds in our homes. And sometimes those values are in direct conflict with who we are as Christians and what we should be as Christians. In fact, I'm just going to say it. Sometimes the values that I see outside there and sometimes inside here are disgusting to me. And I find myself living in a world where everybody's looking for values. Everybody has values, but they're often different than mine. So what's a Christian to do? What are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to live among people whose values are different? I think Jesus gives us a great answer. He says, here's the deal. You've got a chance to live out your values among people who don't have the same values. This is why we pray. We just did it. Make us a people of grace. Help us to live lives of grace, to speak words of grace, to be crystal clear about who Jesus is, because that's our value. We're not better than other people. We've been saved from the outside. But it's not about us. I want you to think for just a moment. If you know someone in your life who you are with them and you walk away having spent time with them, and you could honestly say, man, it's just a joy to be with that person because it's not about them. They care about me. They want to hear my stories without telling me theirs. They ask me questions about my life and how it's going. They care deeply about what it is. Let me just tell you something. If you and I live out our values, which is it's not about us, it's about God, and it's about loving other people and introducing them to a God who saved them in Jesus Christ, we would be so different, not because of the movies we attend, not because of the way we argue about politics, but because our values would mirror and reflect the values of God. Of a God who is so far above us, but stoops to be near us. Of a God who gave up a throne, not for his own glory, but for your glory and mine. Of a God who was obedient to death, even a criminal death on a cross, so that we might be his. Everybody's searching for values. How refreshing is it to know that our value is Jesus? Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for the gift of Jesus in our lives. We pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you shape and mold and drive deep into us the truth that it is not about us, but it is about you and your glory and the people you have surrounded us with. Help us to live that kind of value in our lives. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.